watching all the anime, Redcaster, Joe Raven,
Equipment Wheeler, Bluecaster, Yoshida's Azeal,
Respecting the Source Material, Greencaster,
Zenshi,
Loyal and Loud, Pinkcaster, Light Red,
Explorer from the Unknown, Yellowcaster, Auto Guard,
Trauma Inducer, Northcaster, Saga.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Otsukare!
Alright, Chico.
Alright, welcome one and all to episode...
We're not talking about Kamen Rider Ichigo today.
Shut up! You thought that was a Honda!
As I was saying...
No.
Okay.
Ichigo!
Ichigo home, okay, if he wasn't already.
Yeah, Ichigo.
Ichigo today?
Ichigo Kurosaki.
Can you...
Moving on.
Get it out of... No, don't. Okay. Episode 74 of Cast Ranger. Woo!
We've been doing it for that long, huh?
Yeah. Is it episode yes times what?
Oh, that's an interesting thing,
yes,
actually.
Plus, yes plus five.
The first episode of Ghost will be in our 75th episode.
Ooh, that's a neat coincidence. It's also, the other thing I noticed is that the first episode of Ghost is airing the first weekend of October. So I have a theory that there will be, this month sometime, a Halloween-related plot, or ideally, the finale of the show will involve some sort of Halloween-related plot. Because Ghost!
Which would suck, because then it ends in September.
Unless they have a couple more episodes.
Fair.
If Decade can end at 31, I'm sure Ghost can bridge the gap a little.
Because I'm, like I said before in past episode, I think they're slowly trying to get back to their January time slot.
Yeah, well, we'd have to compare the dates.
Well, Decade ended in August, so...
September, but yeah.
Yeah. Anywho.
Yes.
So, today we're talking about Drive episode 48, because this was necessary. The Ninja episode 31, as well as Type Tokujo episode 2.
Before we decide to talk about Drive 48, shall I give my my opinion on last week's Drive, as I was not here for that? Because
the Drive is a whole, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, more. And before we do. All we need is Drive!
Greencaster's opinion on Cars and Cops, the Toku Show.
It was shit!
You might want to lean forward and give your opinions directly to the mic.
It was actually not shit. It was... this was a show after my own heart. The finale of it... I appreciate the fact that it's a 22 episode show. It's a 22 minute episode.
22 episode show. God, Decade has a new...
I appreciate the fact that it's a 22 minute episode. I would have given Sigma's fight a bit more time. Like, I understand you gotta have time for Hart versus Shinosuke, but that fight wasn't even all that long either. The way they kind of divided the two fights, they kind of tried to give them both equal time. But neither wound up having enough time for what they were doing. I felt Hart versus Shinosuke was quite a bit more of a complete fight versus Shinosuke and Hart versus Sigma, which just kind of felt like, yeah, we wrote in this final boss to have a really flashy sort of crazy Hisatsu fight. But that's not really the point of this episode, so we're just gonna... Despite the fact that we've decided to add to this character for this set piece, it's not gonna be as... It just wound up not being as lustrous as I would have liked it. That being said, it wasn't a bad episode. It wasn't even a bad way to end the show. The only real thing that I found myself kind of questioning and... This was completely solved a second later, but this was my thought process by the end of this episode, where Krim puts all of the gear away underground and decides to... He takes the Trideron with him. And I'm just kind of like, now hold on a minute. That was Shinosuke's car before he became Drive. Like, it was just a Super 6 sports car. I got the feeling they were just modifying it along
was
the way.
Was it, though?
Yeah, because he was driving it in episode 1 even before he got the Drive technology.
Yeah, but
it was
at that point they
it
always
was a car
had
provided by the frigging Tokujo.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, but they were always planning for him to be driving.
I understand that, and in the end, as I said, I wasn't upset about it after what it was. In the end, he wound up losing Trideron and all of his gear, and I thought that was a nice, touching scene, and I appreciated the fact that he completely understood the reason why it needed to be done, and just sort of happily said goodbye to his friend. But my whole thing was, hey, I'd have asked to keep the Trideron up until the point where I saw a bunch of time later what they gave him in replacement for it. Yeah, no, Lane. It was not the updated version of the car that the Trideron was based on.
Though that would have been a nice touch.
Well, okay, the Acura NSX isn't exactly a really fancy car anymore. You can actually see them pretty commonly on the street. But, that being said, they did give him a Nissan GT-R Skyline. One of the prettiest Japanese sports cars ever made. I just have this image in my head of, like, Everyone in his city finding out they took away his badass sports car, and everyone just kicked in $10 in the special crimes unit. entire population of this city kicked in $10 and bought him a Nissan GT-R Skyline.
Would that have been the best thing ever?
He ran a Kickstarter.
Exactly. They Kickstartered him a sick-ass sports car to replace the sick-ass sports car that he lost. I liked that. I liked the fact, and I adored the fact that they tried so hard to hide the badging, and they thought that they could hide the GTR Skyline from car head.
And Paul's just going, "You can't hide that from me.
It's too pretty and recognizable." That being, fun fact, and this is just completely my personal life, I saw one of those riding around, and apparently so did another gearhead friend of mine, and the picture was captured on Facebook. Oh my god, Godzilla!
The fuck?
Driving by, Japanese monster drives by.
Godzilla!
I bet you anything, that car, like, belongs to, like, a Toei exec.
Probably.
And they're just like, oh, we need a cool car from the drive in the last episode. Hey, borrow my keys.
He was like, okay, but bring it back in one piece.
You scratch it and no movie wars.
I kind of like to think that it's Shinosuke's actor's car
you
that he
scratch
got.
It and your act and your character dies.
I'm in love with the idea that Shinosuke's actor, after becoming really popular in this show and, like, you know, getting a nice amount of acting clout, used his money from super robot car driving, robot fighting kids show, the movie that he did, and he decided to buy it. He just bought himself a really sick car. Like, I am car themed superhero. What's the first thing you're gonna buy with your super fancy Kamen Rider Drive paycheck? Fucking badass car. What's wrong with you?
Here you are assuming that Toei pays their actors well.
you know how usually when they end a show, usually the actor's gonna take away a prop with them? It's like, they just go up to Shinosuke's actor. Okay, you can take anything you want, Trideron. Except that Trideron. Alright, go.
It's like, dude, it's not even street legal. Don't care.
I remember one of the early shots that we saw of, like, the Trideron. It was just passing by on a street. It was just a camera filming the road of passing by cars, and then we just saw the Trideron speed
by. The funny thing is, you know that, like, during the show and forever now leading on, that thing's gonna become the Japanese DeLorean, just, like, in museums and conventions all the time.
Yeah.
Imagine that came here.
Oh!
I'd lose my shit!
Yeah.
I'd be like, I need a picture of the Trideron, please.
But the thing is, there isn't any specifically Toku-themed convention anywhere here that I know of.
The SH Figure Arts Trideron is out now. Like, the car, and I want it, but it's $300.
If the Trideron were ever to come to North America, that would be the first choice, I think. Power Morphicon. We need to go there. I would love to go to Power Morphicon.
One day.
That would be a good place.
4 years down the road, I'd say.
If anyone from that con is listening, please invite us.
Yeah. Cast Rangers.
Bruno from MMPR Toys. We love you. I love you.
Yeah. And as for Drive in general, it's a great show. Honestly, it was, from the beginning, I might have had some trepidations about it at the beginning, but honestly, my only gripe about it at the beginning was the fact that it wasn't Gaim. And
That's Gaiman, not exactly fair, but I understand.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
Like when I first
but then
started,
that was kind of the idea. What yeah. could be?
Yeah. Well, no. Like, that's not the mentality you should have when you're making television. You should always want to surpass your greatest work.
Yeah.
You shouldn't just rest on your laurels. But that being said, it was always a show after my own heart. I mean, it's a show about a... In the end, it is a show about a badass cop with a badass car who turns into a super cool robot fighting machine superhero... Who basically takes part in the plot to Blade Runner?
These are facts.
This show has a lot of similarities to Blade Runner and a lot of things. Like, there's a lot of Western influence in this show. As I've said, I see some Spider-Man in Drive. I see some Blade Runner in Drive. I see quite a lot of things, and just basic American cop shows. Like just those moments where they're sitting there and just going, no, there's an actual crime going on, and there's evidence that needs to be assessed because we're police officers and not just superheroes fighting robots.
And making Sherlock-level logic leaps. Although
yeah.
they only really did that, like, twice.
I don't think you've had enough exposure to Sherlock to... he goes way more
mind
you know,
palace.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I understand. But still, I liked this show. I'd even go so far as to say I loved this show. I didn't Gaim love it, but I loved it for different reasons.
As I said on Twitter, I put Gaim in its own separate category of fucking amazing. Watch this show.
Yeah.
But yeah, Drive is in my top three. As I said, I fucking love Drive.
But we all gave our opinions last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and now we move on to the epilogue episode.
Which everyone apparently hated except me.
Which was nowhere near as good.
It was just a little, like, to me it was just, okay, that happened.
It was...
You guys remember that great finale?
Yeah.
Yeah, now we have this.
Yeah. The thing that really bugs me in particular about this was the fact that, like, they played the ending and, like, the montage and flashbacks of it, and it's like, it plays off like the ending to any other show, except we already had the ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this is the ending of the ending.
It was an epilogue, it was nothing but ghost hype, and...
May I just... The end of last week's episode had a... So-and-so went on to do this thing for everyone except for Kiriko and the main character.
But they
exactly.
could they could have perfectly easily squeezed that in too.
But the fact that they did that for... Yeah, no, they did that for everyone else. They were waiting until the end of this episode to do that for the two of them.
Yeah.
See, Lane, here's my question to you. If you had to pick a final episode, which one would you prefer?
Like... Well,
this one or the one
47,
before?
47, okay, I understand.
I'm just asking.
No, 47, absolutely. But, okay, let me explain this the best way I can. Yes, 48 was entirely ghost type, and we didn't see much of Ghost. He was just a bit silly, he showed off, oh, he's a ghost, he can disappear and shit, and you can't see Ghost unless you hold the icon, blah, 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 blah. But, yes, it gave us closure to Shinosuke and Kiriko's characters, and I liked that. We had a fucking awesome bro moment with Gen Shinosuke, which was cool.
Yes, the bro moment with Gen was interesting. They've had plenty of those. The shot where they show what happens to Tomari and Kiriko at the end, where he gets promoted, I feel like that exact scene, shot for shot, could have been placed immediately at the end of episode 47, and it would have been... just as satisfying.
And also another thing was this episode also fully developed the rest of Shinosuke's character where he realized, hey, I don't need a special little fancy belt to, you know, be a cop. I can just be a cop and prove my worth.
Here's how I see the two Drive things we watched today, and I'm not going to talk about the
Tokujo
thing just yet. But I will say this. The Drive episode 48 and the Type Tokujo special, or episode 2 of the Type Tokujo special, are both exercises in something that I have said even just a few minutes ago. Drive's ability to be a functional cop show is one of its greatest strengths. These two episodes are almost entirely it trying to be a functional cop show. The difference is, one keeps a bit of the lightheartedness, the other takes itself way too seriously. Episode 48 is the one that takes itself way too seriously. It was too cop show. It was too gritty. Everyone was speaking in that lower sort of monotone, You have a mission to do, Shinosuke. Here's your debrief. Like, I didn't... It didn't feel like the chief was at any point, like, you know... He didn't feel like the chief. He just felt like a chief debriefing his cop. Shinosuke just... He was a little...
I'm sorry, I'm just...
That's the style they were going for.
I'm just sorry. I'm just having trouble comprehending that you're calling the darker episode the one that did not feature someone trying to kill themselves.
Sure, but that being said, I'm talking more about tone, and I'm talking also about the way the thing's presented. Everything's a little more muted in this episode. Everything's a little darker in terms of its lighting, in terms of in its acting.
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on. Not once did the chief try to read him his horoscope. Not once did he bust out into his own...
Okay, then, yes, I understand. Everyone is taking themselves seriously this week.
He could always be... He had his serious moments, but he'd always... His thing was he just cut it and was like, not serious.
Wait, there was something that Cell noticed during this episode that actually kind of counterpoints your argument.
It doesn't counterpoint anything. That's the filmmakers trying to throw in a little bit of background.
I wouldn't call it counterpoint so much
as
a little Easter
that.
Egg.
Yeah.
Like,
but,
what it was is...
Yeah,
like,
yes, everyone in this episode is taking themselves completely seriously, but for those who didn't notice, if you look at... When he's sitting at his desk, there's a photo on his drawer behind him of him in the Kamen Rider June suit.
Oh, yeah, no, I noticed that. That was
I
funny.
Did not notice that, even though I only noticed it when he pointed out on the third time I watched the episode.
But that's not him being funny and silly in himself.
No, I know, but that's the shot presenting a la ha ha moment.
I just felt like in this scene, he's just debriefing Shinosuke. Mm-hmm. He's just doing the cop thing. They're all just doing the cop thing. And I understand he was learning that he's a cop, too, and he doesn't need to be an armored superhero. But let's not forget this is an armored superhero show.
Exactly. Like, especially with June, like, don't get me wrong, it would have been all right if, you know, just to see him be a bit serious. You know, he's a bit older and wiser at this point,
right?
There
were several instances of that in the show, and they're perfectly
acceptable. Yeah, but the fact that was, like, the only real scene he had,
yeah. It
just felt like... And again, this is presented to us as, like, the last episode of Drive.
Yeah.
So, like, now, granted, it doesn't... I don't even think it was ever meant to truly be the finale, but...
No, this was a dick-sucking for Ghost.
Yeah.
We all know it.
Yeah.
So... Lane, like, no, it's not bad that they had, like, no one's saying it's bad that they had closure for our two leads, but at the end of the day, maybe that should have been moved over.
It's just a badly made episode, in my
opinion. Honestly, I feel like they should do with Ryder now, just have an hour-long finale. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, have they ever done that in Ryder? Like, have an hour-long finale?
No.
Like, I don't
think
so,
That requires Super Sentai to not air that week.
Yeah.
Case in point, the villain. The villain for this episode.
A.K.A. well, the guy who was played by Kamen Rider Raya. My immediate comment watching this episode: wow, times are hard after the Rider War.
Sure. What was this guy's name?
I don't fucking
the character.
Yeah,
Okamoto Keisuke.
Okay, but he was like the head of like Nightshade.
He was the head of an organization called Neo Shade.
Which
really makes me question a couple things because Neo Shade is clearly referencing Shade from Kamen Rider G.
Coincidence.
No, like, does this make G canon?
No!
I'm just thinking, did Ray Bradbury write
this? Wine Rider does not count.
And I'm just saying this right now. Who the fuck is this guy? Like, I know you just explained who the fuck he is, but who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
In this show?
Here's the thing. Neo Shade has been referenced a few times. Neo Shade is the organization that he's chasing when he's just a cop.
That's cool, but in the end, this episode featured no real threat for him except for the fact that he was holding a gun to somebody, and he's a cop who's trained to shoot.
Well, he did have to contend with the gun, man.
Can we also talk about the fact that when he's holding her...
The ghost had to contend with the gun.
The Neo Shade guy is holding
the gun to her?
Yeah. He's like the worst possible... Like, she's over here.
You are the worst hostage taker ever.
I was like, he may be the leader of Neo Shade, but he's a terrible criminal.
The point of it is not to threaten the person with violence onto someone, because someone can make a judgment call to take that risk. The point is to use that person as a meat shield so that if he does decide to take the shot, his friend's gonna take it.
Yep.
That's the point of that. But at the same time, he wasn't intelligent in terms of that. He, for most of it, he was just pretending to be a coward, but in the end, he just gave up his identity. He just wound up going...
And then became an actual coward.
I'm a stereotypical Rider villain. I shall use the power of what you have there to plunge the world into chaos. Psychotic acting laughing.
You see, the other
he's like,
shoots him.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to destroy the world. Like, how are you going to do that?
And why would you tell him that? Like, his response to that was, well, I guess I'm not going to give it to you then.
I love that. It's like, I'm going to use the icon to destroy the world. Well, now you're definitely not getting it.
now I'm just keeping
it. I'm going to give it to this floating ghost fucker.
Another thing with the tone prop, before we get into ghost proper, I just want to bring up another thing that about this with the tone problem was when Q threatens to kill himself.
No, that was in Tokujo.
Was it?
That was Tokujo.
Tokujo. It's all blending together
at this point.
They're too similar.
All right.
Sorry.
Quickly going into the ghost cameo. Like, they could have at least teased a quick form change or something.
Well,
or, like, do a rider kick.
When we
saw
really
it, didn't.
The first time we saw him, like, in his, like, invisible form, I'm just like, is this fucking Predator? Like, they're fighting in a warehouse. It's like a camouflage invisibility.
Well, how it works is apparently, like, they explain this is that unless you're holding an eye, like, humans holding an icon, you won't see them. So,
that's,
like, ghost is a ghost.
That's interesting. I'm wondering how they're going to work around that visually for the show.
Yeah, I was
going to say. His like, support cast, they're obviously, like, they work with them, so they'll obviously know he's there.
No, but, like,
works with on the OG.
And, yeah, so other human civilians, they probably won't know what's going on.
See, that's what I mean. Are they just going to present it as the show goes on, or are they just going to present it as, we can see, but
and
they can't.
Shit's blowing up, but most people can't see what's doing it.
Yeah, so we might get a cool, like, news report on TV or something that's like, strange explosions have been happening, we don't know why.
You saw he works with demon-dispelling monks. They got the beads, the bald, they got
talismans.
The
shaved head monk. I look forward to him.
Actually, Elaine, when I said that too. I'm looking forward to that priest.
Yeah, I just saw him going like, ah! And I was like, this guy's going to be funny.
Can we just talk for a second about how seeing Chase in a flashback gave me too soon feels?
No, okay, yeah. I thought this was non-canon, and then I watched this, and it was a flashback to them dealing with Neo Shade earlier, and I was like, okay, thank you, show.
I just love how this...
Establishing that this hasn't just been left on the back burner the entire series.
The funny thing about the cinematography is, like, the moment Chase shows up, they, like, focus on him for a second for the viewers to go, hey, look who's here!
Hey,
and
Jason!
I'm like, you fuckers!
Well, it was like, talking about ghosts, though, and especially his invisible effects, the effects look good, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was actually surprised. Should we, because now this is like the first time we've seen it in an extended period of motion, should we talk about the ghost suit, like...
Oh, specifically Orta Damashii, I guess.
What do you need to say about it? It's breathtaking.
Well,
I love it.
I've gotten really adjusted to it. It's cool, but I still don't like that horn.
See, though,
just,
I love
the horn's just really protruding.
The
it's
horn
out
is,
there.
Is
listen,
growing
from the
me?
Person who likes single shoulder pads that have spikes coming out of it, but don't have them on the other side, man. It pulls the helmet together.
I like
I think
it.
You
it.
Just need to confront the fact you might have bad taste.
I do. No, I said I had good taste in designs.
But,
I like Decade is my favorite form.
I like the horn.
Decade and Forcing.
I like the horn, but specifically
I like
because
characters with weird fucking helmets.
You know what I like? The fact that the hood goes down. Like, I thought that was gonna be like
only
fixed part.
Only on Ore though. Only on Ore and Spectre. Because the other part, if you look at like Edison, it looks pretty fixed.
It's every all the other ones the hood's.
I'm sure it's a form.
Thing.
But my point is it's not just like in general it won't just be always on there. I mean, I like hoods as much as the next guy, but like the put it the fuck down. Sometimes.
I hope we get a nice variation of fight scenes where he fights with it up and not
on.
But
what I was trying to say a second ago is I really like the horn on it because it speaks to me as a Final Fantasy fan because summoners are known to have horns in their designs, which makes sense because he's channeling spirits
of
famous dead people.
He's not a ghost, guys. He's an org.
No, you know what he is? You know what he is? I just figured out why we all like him so much. He's War Greymon.
Oh!
Yeah.
He's got War Greymon.
It is like orange and silver or black. Sorry, and
no, he's Kamen Rider Deathstroke. We already said that.
Okay. Do you know what I like too? Now, are these like the base form for the monsters in the sense of Rory?
The
Gamma,
yes.
In one of the scans, I saw an Alice in Wonderland themed one.
That's cool.
We've seen a couple of ghost suit guys in the trailer.
So those are the monsters in like their base form.
In like their Mook form.
Yeah. I love how they look like an old school Rider Mook.
Absolutely.
But with like better
updated
budget.
Yeah.
Like they got like those prints around their like faces and on their chests.
Yeah, I like them. There are no crows, but they'll do.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you're hard for the crows.
There was one funny scene with Ghost that I liked, where like Shinosuke is like taking a call, and then you kind of just see him like move his way in near Shinosuke, like kind of listening in the call, yeah. And then he ends it. He turns around, sees him there. I thought that was funny.
You were here for a second.
So I like to think that Ghost.
It's not that. It's that he didn't expect him to be listening.
I like to think that Ghost is going to have a bit of like a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be acting silly.
I hope so, because Kimari was fucking
dry.
Can we
move on to with the flashback, that triple henching was amazing.
I liked how
they synced the fucking mock drivers like together.
Let's
and
do
it's
it
got
one
everything.
More time.
Yeah.
When Ryder gives you fan service, it gives you fucking fan service.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Now, my thing, I keep noticing that fucking little ghost hanging.
Oh yeah, the ghost buddy.
Oh god,
Ghost Unk, as I call him.
His name is Yudusen.
Yes, that. I'm just.
You know who voices it, don't you?
Oh, God, I heard it, and I was like, oh.
Who is he? Who is he?
Oh. Don't quote me on this, because I was listening to it at really low volume, so I don't know 100%.
I'll look it up.
I'm pretty sure it's Hirano Aya.
A.K.A. Haruhi.
Oh, yeah.
God. Oh!
I'm pretty fucking sure.
Wait, so what's the character's name?
Yurusen. Yeah, but yeah, that thing was fucking annoying.
I heard the voice, and I was like, oh, hi, okay, I know who you are.
I love that, like, Ghost has the chance to take the icon, and then, like, Shinosuke gives it to Shinosuke, and he's like, you're not taking it? You're not giving it to him?
Nah, you need it.
And then Ghost is like, no, he's let him borrow it, it's fine. Like,
you
we'll get it back.
You
get
his fucking girl.
Yeah, we'll get it back, don't worry.
Give him a second.
Yurusen is actually voiced by a woman, Aoyuki.
Oh God! How did I miss that one?
What is she?
Hibiki from Symphogear.
Oh!
Also Madoka.
Oh! Oh!
Oh! I missed that voice completely, and I am embarrassed.
The fucking ghost is voiced by Madoka.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is where we leave.
Yes. God damn it, you just know Gen Urobuchi had something to do with that.
Look at that, though, he's
sorry.
So cute.
I'm scrolling down the thing. I barely got. I've just got Cell's iPad with the freaking roles she's done, and I see one. Kamen Rider Batride War 2. As who? Raito.
Oh, God.
Wait, what?
Probably one
what
of the
if
fairies.
They, what if they pull, like, a theme that they did, like, with Tatsula and Kiyo, where, like, this thing's essential to, like, Ghost's final form or some shit?
God, I hope that's not it. Probably.
God, yeah. All right. So I wanna
maybe it turns into the replacement for the front part of the driver.
The more annoying, the more necessary.
Let's move on to the quick, cool Gen Shinosuke bro moment. So, like, I guess what? Shinosuke's having, like, doubts about himself or something?
Yeah, because
and so,
this is the first case he's had to do without belts on.
Yeah. No! First off, he's having real abandonment issues because, like, he's reviewing the case of Kiriko and he imagines Beltsun's on the table, like, talking to him. And I was like, and then he's driving in the car in his car and he, like, looks down and he sees Beltsun there. And I'm like, oh.
And then almost crashes.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, he misses him. Like, he's out of his, like, he's out of his routine. Like, he's fairly messed
up.
His
mind, he's hallucinating.
So much to the fat and, oh, this bothered the shit out of me. Like, apparently, like, I think Yurusen said this, but it was like, oh yeah, if you use the icon, like, a miracle can happen. And, like, the belt kind of, like, shaped over him, and I was just sitting there like,
Here's the thing. Don't you fucking transform! I swear to God! Here's the thing. There are a couple theories on this. At first, I thought that he was still hallucinating the belt, but they explicitly stated that if you have the icon, a miracle will happen. So I think while he was holding the icon, he actually managed to manifest a copy of the driver. And then when he threw it away, it vanished.
Yeah, I was just like, don't you fucking shit. Like, this episode was going to be completely ruined for me if he transformed there.
You know, whenever I hear that, like, a miracle will happen, I just picture, like, that near the end of Digimon. Where it's like, the angels of light would appear and a miracle would occur.
Shoot your brothers with light arrows.
It'll work.
Okay!
It'll be fine.
I'm glad he, like, cast it aside and then the belt disappeared. I was like, okay, cool. He's going to take care of this by himself.
I'm still a Kamen Rider. Pulls out a cop pistol.
Yeah, we were making a joke, like, whatever it was, like, the brake gunner, and it's just like, brake up. It just turns into machine chaser. Like a red machine chaser.
Super dead heat.
Yeah, pretty much. There you go. But no, that would
I still funny. Have the Trident on key, bitches.
But no, Kevin made a funny joke where, like, he's just holding his pistol and he presses a gun, and then, like, he turns it over to the handle. Break!
And then pistol whips him.
No, but, like, he shot Raya
good
in the...
Good job stealing self-joke,
yeah, shot,
by the way.
Yeah, he shot Raya in the hand or whatever. Like, he shot the gun out of his hand, and yeah. I wish he got, like, his hand, like...
Bloody?
Kinda, like, bloody or something
so
like
I
that.
I guess he was shooting blanks.
I was sitting there, like... Man,
Paul was like,
man,
kid
if he
show,
shot,
like,
man,
yeah.
If he shot that gun, that bullet should have ricocheted. That could have gone anywhere.
The funny thing, the best part about that whole scene...
Yeah, including Kiriko.
The best part about that whole scene was he was apparently at the same spot where he shot Hayase.
Yeah, I know, right?
I never noticed
there,
that.
Like, it's
like,
the same
fucking... Like, oh!
I sat there like, it's the same fucking location.
Isn't that fucking convenient?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also noticed thing because they show like these like yeah I'm different from how I was a year ago, and then they show the incident where like he shot the gas tank that blew up Hayase.
Yeah.
But I noticed that when he's covered, Hayase's covered under that rubble, like you actually see like his hand kind of twitching a bit, which I guess I never noticed episode one, which would have shown that because we thought he was dead in episode one, but
yeah.
No, he yeah so
that was
yeah.
A real shocker in episode two when we just see him there.
Oh, shocker!
Shocker
oh.
Confirmed for Ghost.
Shocker.
Oh.
But,
God, imagine a shocker damashi.
Yeah.
Just like one of the shocker troops' face. It's like its face.
Yeah, his face
is
like
the visor.
The leader face. But the funny thing is, there was something weird I noticed, and this may have just been lighting, but, like, after he, like, saves Kiriko from the criminal and they get the Newton icon back, like, you see Yudison floating next to Ghost as they're talking, and I swear to God, for one of the shots, it looks like he's holding the Robin icon instead, because it looks green.
Well, it'd just been the lighting, like, if they didn't, like, do a...
Yeah, that's why I said it was the lighting.
Yeah.
And then it ends with,
well, they just misplaced it for a shot.
That is possible.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here, take this one.
Prof guy!
So it ends with, Shinosuke getting a transfer to the first division, so he goes back
he
along
with
Gen. Yeah, he works with Gen,
yeah.
Which is awesome.
Then they
and
became
then,
the best buddy cops ever.
And then Kiriko, oh, wouldn't that be... imagine just a show about just Gen and Shinosuke working together as cops.
Or at least, like, a movie.
Yeah, make... Fucking free cinema, Gen Shinosuke movie, featuring Mach. Yeah.
In Louisiana, no rider armors, no robots. They're just buddy cops
yep.
fighting crime.
You know
yep,
what?
Yep, yep.
I want to quickly end this because, like, we were talking about the V cinema, about the Chaser movie. Can we have a movie that's just about freaking just Bono and Krim, like creating
yeah.
the Roid music?
Hey,
hang
on, maybe
he'll
be in the Chaser cinema.
Didn't the rap? I'm just real thinking about this one. Didn't the wrap-up thing from last week say that Gen ended up becoming the head of First Division?
I think so,
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, he's Shinosuke's boss.
Yeah.
not his partner.
He's like,
his boss.
Oh, who's better now, bitch?
This is where I have a desk and you don't.
what is Gen's rank?
He's lieutenant during the show.
During the show, it's lieutenant, but they did say that he was promoted to... I don't remember what the actual rank was.
Okay, because Shinosuke gets promoted to sergeant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then he becomes, like, the best detective in the
yeah.
First Division.
The ace detective.
Yeah, the ace detective.
And do you really think
and
that...
Gen's his boss.
And, Raven, be serious for
no,
a
no,
second.
I know. Gen wouldn't pull rank with him at
do
all.
Do you really think...
No,
no
I know.
He would defer to him, if anything.
I know, right? No. I know Gen wouldn't pull rank with him. Gen would just be like, Shinosuke, I need your advice on this case. Come on.
Yeah.
Come here. We're buddies.
And, of course, like they did with everyone else last week, they end the episode by saying Tamari became the ace detective, and Kiriko was also an investigator, but then eventually married Tamari and had their son, Eiji.
Their oldest child,
yeah,
Eiji.
Which confirms that the movie is canon.
It's also
cool!
It's also anti-feminist because it stated that she decided to marry a dude and have his kid.
Who then gets turned into a corrupted future and he has to go back in time to rescue his dad from being killed so he can save his future. And Krim doesn't become an evil asshole and take over the world.
I know.
Of course!
I'm pretty sure we've established by this point that was number four.
I want Surprise Future to come out, goddammit! I want to watch that movie! I want to find out what happens!
I would love it if, like...
The entire time, it was Roid Mute number four.
I would love it if me...
That's gonna be it! That's totally it!
That's what I think. But I had this random idea just now. I think it'd be funny if many years from now, where we've had enough instances of, like, writers who come from the future, where we just have, like, a movie about all of the writers who came from the future.
Wouldn't that be something?
Including that Kiba thing at the last episode.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. Masao from the end of Kiba.
They must team up with Space Patrol Delta.
No, I was going to say, so when we get to 2050, are we going to have SPD as a power agency? They have
that,
to do that.
I was that's when they'll do another Deca Ranger movie.
And
then 50 years
and
later.
And
100 years
no.
from now, there will be another fucking Kyoryu.
Yeah, and then in 2014, they'll make Kyoryu Part 2.
You know
we
what?
Have to do
these
that.
These things always do make me wonder, just where will this go in the future? Because this is just one of those things that's never going to stop. There's never not going to be Kamen Rider. There should never be a reason for there not to be. Just how far will it go?
I'm excited to go on this journey.
Just 20 years from now? Guys! Gaim Season 2 confirmed!
We're doing
let's
this.
Go! This year is vegetables! Vegetable boxing!
Oh,
vegetables boycotted! I gotta collect them all!
Corn arms!
So it turns out, here on our 60-year anniversary of Castrate.
Cucumber Lux!
The
20-year
no.
reunion!
No, wait, guys, let me do this. So, turns out that for the 60th year of Castranger, we have a bit of a surprise. It seems they have run out of so many ideas for Super Sentai. Japan contacted us, and Castranger is airing next month.
So we will not only produce a Tokusatsu podcast to review Sentai,
we will also an official Sentai!
We will also be the Sentai we review!
We will now be reviewing ourselves!
Who the fuck is that Paul guy?
Why does he keep dipping in and out?
Why does...
At this point, I'm dead, and just my child takes over my my place.
I
Lane Jr., nice to replace your father and follow his footsteps. Yeah.
And then we find
no, he's just like I fucking hate you.
And
guys.
there's like a whole plot about how we investigate the murder of Lane.
No, it's just my son's completely like you guys are a bunch of fucking nerds.
His son would just point to me and go, "He did it."
Yeah. Case closed.
Yeah, it did.
And then
better detective than
you.
Tamari
I look like my son looks like he's gonna choke you. Gives you a big hug. Thank you. Like my father was goddamn annoying.
Coming 2059. Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
The actual Sentai.
The actual.
Also, 20 years ago, we did that Hentai Sentai Sex Ranger thing. Go look that up. It's good shit.
Oh, and when it gets and when it gets converted into Power Rangers, it becomes an all Japanese cast.
We're making this canon. Okay. Guys, we have to promise that like 40 years from now, Cast Ranger Reunion. No. It's set in stone. We're doing it. 40-year reunion.
And then when we do it, we'll go back and listen to this episode.
That episode would start with... If there is an audible sound that can be heard to allow people to know that we've all got our head in our hands, like... We all have functioning careers.
The sound will be this.
I've made like 3 movies by now. Like, what even?
I've become a top Android RPG developer.
Why do I always come back to talking about goddamn kids shows from Japan?
I finally got promoted to certified trainer Panera.
I finally got that different hat.
It's true.
I got the hat on my fourth week.
Gar is still debating moving in back in with his parents or staying here.
Well, Gar's got his reading glasses on. You know he's serious.
Gar's still on the waiting list for residence.
Gar, do you have any input on this episode?
Raven got a new hat.
Eventually.
It's slightly bendier.
Gal lost a ton of weight.
I became the new Lane.
And Paul completely fixed his sleep schedule.
You did it, guys, after 40 years.
And Ichi's final words before he died was, "Sing it!"
No, it's like after 40 years, I still fall asleep on the podcast.
Yes.
You guys call me on it. It's like, I have 3 kids!
I'm a grandfather! I was frozen today!
Oh, wow.
All right, can we move on to Ninja Beast?
What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't know.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah,
wow. So... Adventure shit happened, Mech got destroyed, and Tokujo...
Next week...
Kira was the best the killer.
Kasumi was playing stupid, fucking what...
No, we're actually going to talk about Ninja.
Ninja, let's do it.
Alright, Mecha and Ninja. Shurikens Sentai!
So, the episode starts with them doing sparring, because what the fuck else are we going to start with?
That was weird. The whole thing Nagi did, that was...
Think was going to happen when he summoned a fucking bath spa?
That's why I was like, did he intend to do that? And then he looks around and he's like...
I fucked that up.
You know, especially considering what happens later in the episode, and we'll get to it. This could have been a lot more creepy than it ended up being.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, we'll get to that later,
but... did anyone notice that, like, Kenji was in scuba gear?
Yeah. That was cute little...
Is that an American thing?
Maybe they thought it was an American thing?
I don't know. That's him just being...
God, they're really being stereotypical with Kenji, aren't they?
Trying
to make him.
You know what? Going
to Hawaii on vacation, eating cheeseburgers all the time.
I wanted to bring this up at some point. Kenji's gotten boring.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I was going to say, though, Lane, a Japanese acting stereotypically, no.
That's true. If this were more widespread in the States, like, as a broadcasting thing, people would be calling racism against America with him. I actually feel like that.
Yeah, because there's a tad and fair amount.
Yeah, a bit.
Which is why I keep saying I'm interested to see how they're gonna do Star Ninja in the Power Rangers.
I'm gonna call it now. They'll keep him for the most part being like a cowboy. Like he'll probably be from the South.
Well, I mean, his suit's a cowboy.
Exactly. No, I mean even everything else though.
Yeah.
I doubt they'll keep the burger as the morph.
I hope so. I would love to just buy like a burger morph
because it's not shown anywhere on the suit. I can see them not using the burger.
See, that's what I also say. It's not even a matter because Power Rangers has a history of changing morphers
Then again, you look at Geki Ranger. They change it from a glove to fucking sunglasses.
Not even that though. I'm also gonna call it on this sort of level. They really in America, especially like. Anything aimed towards kids, there really has been a health stance taken place recently.
Oh, yeah.
They'll never let a cheeseburger become
unless
a thing like that.
Unless it's
a tofu
burger.
Yeah, but then
burger.
He uses the Ninja Star Burger to make the summon the Zord.
Especially considering how easy it would be just to get another katana.
Or they'll just, like, have another katana on the guitar.
Make the guitar the morpher.
That's what they're going to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's actually not a bad idea.
He is a cowboy. If there's one image that's American as fuck, it's a cowboy with a guitar.
Yeah.
Imagine they made, like, a cowboy hat morpher for him. Like, he just does a thing, puts the hat on, and transforms
into a fucking better. He puts the hat on and fucking spins it.
I was about to say that, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, but like,
well, that was part of the morph sequence for the Green Samurai Ranger from Ninja Storm.
Yeah.
That was
for him to form change.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
But you know,
he's going from an umpire to a pitcher.
There's precedent!
I was just saying, like, Kenji's kind of gotten boring. It looks like party night ended.
Oh.
No! I'm not giving up!
Is that where we're going to say if his actor just dies?
No.
You know it is.
Or the character.
Oh, God. So if we ever get into if we ever, like, still keep doing Cat Adventures years later, it's like, yeah, so Kenji, the guy who played Kenji died. Well, I guess there's no more party night for him.
That's going to be the sad thing.
Hiding didn't stop party night, but cancer sure did.
I'm sorry.
Kenji
Neither is hearing this. We love you so
immediate regret.
Wow.
If it softens the blow at all, I'm
Ichi.
A cancer.
Ichi, I thought I was the trauma inducer. I'm actually surprised I didn't say it first. Bravo. Wait.
Am I getting praised for making cancer jokes?
Yes.
Listen, I'm
surprised.
Give
in to your anger.
Listen, I'll admit that I'm a little surprised I didn't say it and replace cancer with AIDS, but
They get the top.
I honestly, that wasn't planned. I was struggling for like a terminal disease of some sort to say.
Just like,
that's just the one that happened to come up first.
He just, yeah, he does
it could have been anything.
I was hoping for more benign terminal
disease. He just does have cancer. Yeah.
Lee! Don't continue the show.
I'm sorry.
You son of a bitch.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
We gave a ninja cancer. And unsubscribed.
Everybody unsubscribed.
Character getting boring for you? Give him cancer.
Cancer ninja.
Anyways, after spawning the fucking bath scene, the other ninjas counter by putting him in a bowl of fucking nabe.
And that was so Sentai to see that. Like,
I just love the shot of just him just standing in the soup, not and then you see the chopsticks coming at him.
No, that would be cool if it was like a giant Takahara just going like, oh, food!
Oh, no, it's Tekken Titan!
Oh, God, that was hilarious. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm just imagining, like, him in this soup, and he's just standing there, and I'm just imagining, like, in his character's head, just thinking, I'm not gonna say it. Moi Dikita!
Yeah, where's Rick Moranis when you need him?
Yeah. Oh, we did get another easy from Yakumo, so the counter's up to 51.
Keep track of that.
I'm keeping track of this shit.
No one else will.
Easy.
So Kyuemon summons the Badger Ninja Mugina.
It was actually pretty cool.
And I just realized Kyuemon is now Nukus because she's summoning beings from the 2D dimension.
Oh yeah.
It's a he. I keep forgetting that.
I really like this one though because he wasn't aware what was going on, and then he raises
some interesting questions about where these ninjas are coming from.
So it's like, oh, I'm your new master. Like, you know, I got an assignment for it, and he's like, oh, really interesting. I need you to gather fear. Well, sounds boring, but I'll do it anyway.
Did not do.
Yeah, because he's like, that was boring.
Let me ask you guys: of the four ninjas from the, what was it called?
The Izayoi clan.
Which was your favorite? Because that's the end of them, right?
Yeah.
What was your favorite from of the four?
I like the ant one.
Yeah.
I might go with Rhino.
I like the Rhino.
Just because, like, the whole board game idea.
It was Ninja Mario.
We can all agree that the one we didn't like at all was the bird one.
Hayabusa?
Jesus of God.
No, like, Hayabusa, like, himself was cool, just the bird!
Yeah.
The fucking bird!
I actually didn't mind that too much, but there's just nothing about him that would make me pick him
exactly.
as my favorite.
Like, although I did like Mugina as well, because, I like how he's, like, just wants to play games still.
Goddamn Tanuki! I'm not a goddamn Tanuki!
You mean the Rhino?
What?
You mean the Rhino?
No, he wants to play games too, like Tank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you see giant testicles on me? I am not a Tanuki.
Do you see me using these to create a glider?
Everyone called him a Tanuki, even fucking Ariake no Kara.
Because she's stupid!
Not even that. I looked it up. Apparently,
it's a cultural thing, it's
like almost a blanket term for Badger and Tanuki, because like, I guess back in the day they just thought they were the same thing.
Well, it's kind of like that thing where they kept calling Chopper fucking Tanuki, and he's like, no, Tanaka, or whatever the word for reindeer is. Anyways.
Okay. But, yeah. So, we see him fight the ninjas, and he's got this badass fucking spiked shield on a chain.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, just... Mugina is an old Japanese term primarily referring to the badger, but in some regions it refers to the raccoon dog, also known as Tanuki.
Okay.
So it actually is a...
Biology with Cell.
Oh, Japan. Trauma inducer.
I like little things like that. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. So we find out that his special technique is apparently removing talents. So, ladies and gentlemen, we officially have the Space Jam monster.
I tend to look
Oh my god.
Did you not notice?
He even lays his hand on things and pulls it out his glowing orby leg.
Yeah, this picture.
I did it. I got their talents.
Yeah, you got the talent.
I'm genuinely surprised that it didn't, like, put the talents into itself.
God, no, it would
now every time I watch these guys fight this monster, I'm just going to think, come on, Slayer.
Welcome to
the
Slayer.
No, I just wish they put them all the talents into one giant shuriken, and then at the end, just Michael Jordan comes in. Touch it.
Touch the shuriken.
That's how they win the day. Like, what? Like Takahara like stretches his arm. Like
get sent underground through a golf hole, and then you just see Samuchi just like, guys, hi. It's your father.
Just
it's your
like,
uncle.
Just like Takahara lying on like a therapist sofa. What are you trying to say? That I'm trying to disrespect my grandpa? But I love my grandpa.
Oh no!
I'm the last ninja, goddammit!
It gets to the end of the fight, and where they're all failing. What's gonna? How are we gonna get through this? Da 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 da!
Bill Murray!
Actual Bill Murray, not a Japanese guy.
And then no! We have Tommy Lee Jones.
Yoshitaka comes in and says, "I didn't know Dan Aykroyd was in this picture."
No, I like to think we get Tommy Lee Jones because he's in those coffee commercials.
No. Oh, yeah.
Either Tommy Lee Jones or fucking John Reno.
There you go.
There you go.
Because he's in Japanese commercials, too.
But yeah, so who suddenly gets the first one to get their talent taken away?
Fucking
Kasumi. Not so light red anymore, is he?
You know, I just thought that maybe that should be the name of the episode.
Bill Murray in the
Sentai. My favorite pink ranger. And...
But, yeah, so Kasumi gets her talent stolen, which in her case is her analytical ability.
But she's still, herself,
yeah, even though she has it removed and she's like a fucking airhead, she still manages to analyze everyone else's removed talent.
No, she's
well.
Still hyper competent. With still from the crushing on her.
Yeah,
Paul, don't forget, I'm the pink caster. I'm the support caster, so I can revive myself every single time you kill me.
Ooh.
And that's why killing you is okay.
Gar!
You are
back to the no-no machine!
Lane, you are a minion.
Oh,
banana!
Don't start that.
Do I want to go get my minion shirt? I'll get my fucking minion shirt and minion hat.
I can clone you, Lane. You can become expendable.
Do you want another me?
Tiny
Lane! Do you want another
no,
me?
No, but I can replace you to cover my tracks.
Tiny Lane!
Tiny Rick!
Anyways.
But yeah, so Kasumi loses her talent, and it was kind of interesting seeing her, like...
Spacey.
Yeah. Can we... Okay, I'll let you explain. Can we just get to the scene with fucking Yakumo?
Oh
my god.
There was one thing real quick I wanted to mention that was really jarring.
I didn't notice it first, either.
Well, no.
Or realize,
I don't think you're noticing what I'm talking about, but... There was one, like, after the first fight, they're all talking about it, and they're like, yeah, the monster is really annoying. We need to, like, stay a step ahead of it. So, like, they're in the dojo talking about it, and then just abrupt cut to them standing in front of him in the warehouse for their next fight.
Whoa,
that was quick!
I literally went, what the fuck kind of transition was that?
There had to have been a scene missing there, because that's just, that's incompetent if that was a choice.
But, that was, yeah. So we come to this game of Ninja
Look, we're running a little over time. We need to cut a scene from this episode.
How about
the one that explains how the fuck they got to the fight?
Establishing shot? What's that?
Yeah. So whatever, it's a game of Ninja Keep Away or Ninja Tag, depending on the translation you're watching.
Uh-huh.
And Kasumi, being the stupid person she is right now, she's like, you can have mine again! Get back in the corner.
This is fine.
So, what was it you were going to say?
No, the scene with Yakumo and Kasumi, like...
Oh, yeah!
I'll use my magic to get out of here.
No, not that one!
The clump
scene!
Oh my god! So, explain
you mean
this...
the one that wasn't actually Kasumi?
But still, okay.
He didn't know that.
That was the thing. So, what happens... Why don't you explain, and I'll say what I said.
Yeah, so, what happens is, Pink Ninja, through her own stupidity, gets captured. Again...
But we don't see that.
No. So what happens is, I'm using air quotes, she calls Yakumo, and we get the delightful pun of, I fell down a pit, now I'm feeling down.
Uh-huh.
Even Yakumo just like pulls the phone away slightly, and he's like, you fucking serious? Did you really just say that? So he goes to where she was fighting, and you see her stand up and like glomp him, like, I got out!
Yeah,
and
it's a really intense hug.
She lands on, like, she
glomps him to the floor.
And like they have this little moment of like,
and the music is playing.
And I was just like, ladies and gentlemen, if this was ever turned into Power Rangers, there goes any chance of them being related.
Just
if
yeah,
they
and then I was like, wait, and yeah, they're cousins. Oh my god!
It's not even the first implication of incestuous undertones in this family. The father and the White Ranger! I have been saying this for weeks! He is way too interested in his daughter!
What else does he have in his life, though?
Although I would
not
say...
Not his ninja powers,
way
that's
too
for
interested.
Sure!
Ah, I don't remember your name, Chan!
Oh.
No!
Fuka-chan!
Fuka-chan!
on a similar
note. I don't remember your name, Jen.
No, on a similar note, though, I would think, though, they would never make them siblings anyway, because that's just something Power Rangers tends to not do.
Mm-hmm.
They may make one or two of them siblings, but
I don't know.
Not all related.
Yeah, Power Rangers kind of hasn't done that as far
well,
as
because,
I know.
Well, you know what I'm... And then we all know what the reason is. It's because then you can't make it
ship them
multicultural.
Or also that, I guess... Although,
okay, like, oh yes, you could, but
cousins.
I'm
not
gonna say. I think he's actually a bit more. I think he's actually a bit more correct. Multiculturalism. Yeah, nowadays maybe there might be mandates for that sort of thing, but no, he's right. You can't ship him, and that would be the first thing they thought.
Yeah, but most Power Rangers, like maybe one or two of them end up getting together.
A lot of them have romantic subplots between main characters. Tommy, Kimberly. Joel and Miss whatever
her
name is.
They very rarely show or act on it in terms of the
narrative.
Why did Gar just show me the Boom Twins?
I guess he's talking about siblings.
I guess Gar is no meme caster.
No, but that's an example of how they have done siblings. But
and done it right.
Yeah, but the point was that they won't make all of them siblings.
But it just goes to my joke of yeah, you can't have that in a Power Rangers show, subtle incest.
But yeah, so...
Now granted, it wasn't actual incest.
Yeah.
But...
It's because it makes it fairly obvious that he would have no way of knowing that apparently the Mujina who was the Kasumi in this scenario was the one who glopped Yakumo
also,
because he didn't know they were related.
And I just even when I was watching that, I didn't get the same vibe out of that immediately.
It's the music.
No, it wasn't even that.
The fact that their faces are this close.
No,
the
not
fact
even
that the camera.
I wasn't getting. I wasn't getting that vibe at first either. Just because Yakumo's body language is just, what the fuck are you doing right now?
Well, yeah, even his reaction.
Even his response was just very deadpan.
No, it was very one-sided.
What the fuck, even?
It was very one-sided, yes.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Kasumi's being stupid, cool, whatever, that's the episode.
Get off.
Yakumo's just like, get off, what are you even? It's just like... I got none of that vibe off of that scene, just because, okay, whatever.
I got the vibe from just how nicely they kept framing Kasumi's ass.
Yeah,
especially when the tail spun and starts wagging.
Okay, that's actually something I wanted to say, because I feel like that was an inside joke about, so Mujina, he says he's a badger constantly, right?
Uh-huh.
He's not a tanuki.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing. In folklore, tanuki have this thing where they turn into humans a lot.
Oh.
I almost wonder if that's like...
Let me add to that. They have that thing where they turn into humans and transform what? With the little leaf on their head? Hey, guess what he had on his head when he got transformed back? And then he pulled off.
Oh, I did not even notice that.
I feel like that, yeah. That's
I
like,
saw
like,
it,
he
and
is,
I was just like...
I just
are
like
you
the,
not?
I just
are
like
sure
to think that... I just like to think that any furries watching the ninja will definitely gif the fuck out of that scene where the tail wags.
Yes.
Why you gotta bring the furries into this, man? Leave them alone. Because
the
furries
are awesome. The furries are awesome, but you know what? The fuck.
Yes, that.
As long as they're not fucking actual animals. Shit.
What the yiff?
I like that they tried getting... He stole a bunch more of their towns, so one of them was... Kenji's ability to speak Japanese.
That was the best.
Oh my god.
It was weird hearing him, because he's supposed to be from America, but he speaks such broken English. It bothers the shit out of me.
Well, the actor is Japanese.
They should have honestly just gotten fucking Jiraiya to come back and fucking be Kenji. Goddamn.
Here's the thing. It's about at that point where you start realizing the writers, at least for this episode, must really hate these characters because, Jesus, Yakumo's only talent is being able to use magic, and Kenji's only talent is apparently his tenuous fucking grasp on the Japanese language.
Guys, I'm pretty sure what they meant by talents, they more meant defining traits.
Yep.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Although, that would have been, although from a writer's perspective, that would have been a funny little jab.
Can I
love how it's not even the fact that, no, not Yakumo's talent with magic, the fact that he can do it.
Yeah. So, here's my fun thing in this, when I was watching the episode earlier.
Although, he was still able to do it, he just wasn't doing it well.
Yeah.
He turned his wand into a rose.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
So, when I was watching the episode, I had a little moment on that where I'm just sitting there, okay, so, look, he took Takaharu's talent.
Will Takaharu suddenly become smart because his talent is his stupidity?
See, that's what I was really... And I'm glad they didn't do it, but I had a theory.
And then they made him smart anyway by giving him Kasumi's analytical
ability.
Which was amazing!
It was funny just because how it was shot of, like,
yeah,
them trying Kasumi. To throw Kasumi's, like, talent back at her. She just...
Not only just
throw
it...
a penny!
That wasn't it, but not only did they throw it back to her, but Nagi fucking jack-shotted it at her. And then Kasumi notices that Yakumo's dropped his wand that turned into a rose, so she picks the best moment of all time to duck down and fetch it, and Takaharu gets her fucking analytical ability.
See, what I was saying earlier, I'm glad they didn't go with this route, because it would have been so easy for them to do it, where Mugina, like, he steals the talents and he uses them himself. And
what I was saying earlier. Yeah. They pull a Space Jam.
What I really thought they were going to do was that Takaharu's talent would be how stupid he is or something like that.
And that would have been his downfall?
Yeah, like he would have used that. And, but it's funny because he's dumb. But they did it, so kudos to them. Taking the easy way out.
Yeah, and you're right. I totally could see them doing that.
Mm-hmm. It was really funny for me just because like Takaharu's like trying to figure out what they should do next. And Fuku's just like...
And they're not
they're
even...
They're like, oh my god, he's using his head!
They're not even listening. They're just like, whoa.
This is like seeing a...
This is not my brother!
This is like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs.
And talk. And have sex with your wife.
Whoa! Oh,
I guess.
Your face was...
I mean, I definitely...
Now who's the furry?
I mean, I'd definitely be doing a double take.
Hey, man, Takaharu and intelligence, this is an oxymoron if I've ever seen one. I'm surprised the fabric of space and time is still
intact. I just realized, you know how we call him Bakaharu? This episode we got Bakasumi.
Get out.
Damn it. And there's our episode.
Get out!
I'll kill your family!
No machine for you, Ichi!
You think we can, for the picture, we can have like a morph of like Takaharu and Kasumi's
No, the
face.
Thumbnail has to be the shot of Kasumi's ass with the tail.
Does it have to be?
No. Thumbnail is...
Oh yeah, the shot of her going, I have no idea! Sure, that works.
I'm fucking now.
Okay, so they come up with a plan to fake out and get the key and dunk the fucking badger in the water. Jesus, that poor suit.
Yeah. I'm just like, the suit actor is just like, okay, now you guys are sure that this lake isn't too deep. Just go in. Oh, I'm drowning!
Oh, God!
Go with it!
Fucking Nagi disguising himself as the swan boat.
Your motivation is to live!
I want to say that.
Will you give your life for this part? We'll see.
Okay, so Nagi actually manages to save the day by once again coming up with a whole new style of jutsu. Instead of mixing elements, he mixes types of jutsu and comes up with by fusing and disguising himself into and as the swan boat that they fake out Mugina
with. Becomes
a
giant swan boat.
I just love, like, the right immediately before the commercial, they're like, they fight, and then, like, Mugina runs off, and then we just get, like, a 2-second shot of just the swan boat.
I just had a thought. So at one point, we do see Mugina and Takaharu in the swan boat together, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. We see that they're in the swan boat, and it looks like they're actually in the middle of the lake, right?
Yeah.
So that means there exists footage of Takaharu and Mugina pedaling a swan boat together.
Yeah.
I wish you could see them behind the scenes.
Wouldn't that be the best thing?
That's great.
Unless that water actually is that shallow.
Just images of those two pedaling the swan boat to the theme song for the courtship of Eddie's father.
There's one scene, too, where, like Takaharu is chasing, like, after the... one of like the bunch of fox face ninjas or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like there's one scene where like he like hits his head like against like a thing or something. And I thought like the helmet was gonna break or something. I'm like, oh, like, gotta be careful with those shots.
But so Nagi manages to retrieve all of their talent orbs, and thank God for his impossible accuracy in returning them. I thought it would have been great if they just snuck in a scene where he, like, threw them but got them all mixed up.
I thought that's what they were going to do, too. But then I think they said, oh, we're running out of time.
Yep. God, did they run out of time, because they powered right through the whole Megazord fight because we had
to
get to the actual
point
of
this arc.
We heard Yamagata Yukio say some new shit.
Yeah.
So he was like, he's like, oh, I can't beat this thing. Like, I was like,
oh, so
I guess he is still around. Or at least he recorded that while he was doing the rest of his lines.
Yeah.
So, with Mugina defeated, Kyuemon summons her Otomo-nin.
Because
her
as it
ninja.
Turned out, what she needed was all four dark gears or something.
The black gears.
The black gears from the clan.
Did you want to ever confirmed?
Yep.
That was Devimon.
Oh, was it?
The black gears was Devimon.
Black gears was Devimon, yeah.
So, she summons the Karakuri Kyuubi, which has fucking, like, baby fox funnels.
But the best thing was that this one was hiding in a building as well.
And we were saying that, I wonder if that's the same building Shinobi Maru hides in.
But on the other side?
Yeah.
So, like, when the building's closed, they're just facing each other? Sup. Are you ever going to tell them that I exist? Nah.
It's like his secret girlfriend. When are you going to introduce me to your friends?
No! Yeah, Shinobi Maru just jumps out of nowhere. Don't kill her!
And then, out
of the burning Megazord.
As is tradition at this point, the Megazord, the villain Megazord, wrecks shit.
Yeah, and not only that, but Karakuri Kyuubi finishes them off with a trophy defeating of the monster shot. After, like, doing the final attack, it turns around as the explosion happens.
That was awesome to see that.
Like, oh.
To see the villain Megazord do that to the good guys Megazord.
I'm gonna
say this right now. I'm just gonna say a generalized statement about something I feel about Kyuemon's character. He feels just as ethically justified in what he's doing as the Ninjas.
Yep, definitely.
In his eyes, he's the good guy here.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more to Kyuemon's character that we haven't seen yet.
Kyuemon is still the only reason I'm not writing off the villains as awful for Ninja.
True.
Right. They're pretty useless, and they really don't contribute too much to the problem.
Even Masakage, who was supposed to be, like, the smart one, hasn't really done
much.
He's
like, where's he been this whole time?
They're not much of a threat.
He's scheming for the endgame!
Somewhere down the line, just Kyuemon becomes a good guy and becomes a fucking green ninja.
I'd love that.
That's the theory. And then, like, Kikyo is purple ninja? I'd love to see all these.
Would be cool. Anyway.
Yeah.
So she blows them up.
And it's that.
Oh, she, sorry.
And it just cuts right to the ending.
I just love, like, we were making comments. It's like Kyuubi finishes blowing up their Megazords, just like, how could you? And what did you say?
You ain't lying.
Fucking people.
But actually, yeah, I noticed that it was like because they're getting this new one, Gekiatsu Daio, right?
That's next.
So
week,
yeah, it was just lying how that was destroyed, not. Not by
no,
Sunday,
no.
Not
no,
we know that Lion Howl survives because they knew how Gekiatsu Daio.
Yeah, no, it was that's a point right. of they literally got blown apart, and then the other two Megazords got blown to shit.
I just love how they were like, damn it, the Ultra Zord didn't work. Let's fire at it with the weaker ones.
I know, right?
Well, you know, like, if they tried shooting it from different places.
They should pull a Beetleborgs and triangulate their fire.
Yes!
Nah, but yeah, whatever.
What the fuck did that?
And it's like, oh no, the Megazord.
That's a Borg Slayer.
No, no, that's what I was gonna say. Even as a kid, when I saw that, I was like, what the fuck does that do?
Even I was like, how does that work?
You
okay.
should.
Hey,
sorry.
So, yeah, the Megazords blow up. End thing. Here's the preview for the next episode where we immediately show you the new Megazord.
First shot.
Very first shot. Of the preview.
What the fuck is with marketing in Japan?
They just shove in Kamen Rider Chaser dies again.
Yeah, I know, right?
But we did get to see that apparently Yoshitaka steps into combat again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
In his last ninja outfit.
Yep.
That'll be cool.
Magic Chaser makes a cameo.
And dies!
Again!
Some asshole brought a magnet.
I just want to... You know what? At this point... Fuck it, I want Chaser to be like the Kenny of the Toku world. Where he shows up for like 5 seconds and like I just want him to go into Sentai, Ninjas, I'm here to help you, and he just gets steps on.
Oh, I'm bad at this.
Oh my god, they killed Chase!
You bastards.
Takaramoi Tekita!
I wasn't referencing, I was just calling you bastards.
Yes, thank you.
So yeah, that's Ninja.
It was a fun episode.
Pretty, not bad episode. Definitely the most interesting we watched for this week.
It's entertaining, that's for damn sure. Considering what we had to deal with, yeah. That was a pretty fucking low jump, though.
Just for a little behind-the-scenes info, we have a new editor as of this week, and I thought this was a great week to test him out on his editing prowess, because this was the week of inconsequential bullshit.
So yeah. We may have another new editor next week if we don't like the job.
Whoa.
Ouch.
Anthony, prove yourself.
Goldcaster!
Oh, don't say it! Now it's official. It was all tentative, now it's official.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Anyway,
yeah, he said he was gonna go with it.
Next week on the Ninja, we're gonna get new Megazords.
Tyrek
and Yoshitaka dies.
Oh!
You watch them pull that, and it's like the new Megazord is a result of their anger or some shit.
Yeah.
And then they shoot themselves like missiles.
That's pretty happy anger.
I like to think whatever the fuck his name, Ten.
Who?
Well, Tenchan.
Oh, Tetsunosuke.
Yeah, he probably pulled that out of his ass.
Probably.
It's like, hey, I haven't been on the show in a while. Here, I made this for you. Enjoy.
I made you a Megazord in 10 weeks.
Don't break it, please.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Featured topic.
So, after a long break between this one and the first episode, we finally got episode 2 of the Type Tokujo specials, which are coming out along with the Drive Blu-rays. So, hopefully we should be getting episode 3 fairly soon. But yeah, this was part 2 of the Who Killed Professor Odagiri saga, which is supposed to be telling the story of how the members of the Tokujo were selected. But so far, between episodes 1 and 2, we've not really had any of that.
Yeah, this went absolutely nowhere.
This was...
All this did was tell us that his scientist assistant tried to poison his medicine, and Q is apparently responsible as well, and then there was this really fucked up scene where he was threatening to kill himself with an X-Acto knife.
That was just...
I was just like, whoa, okay.
But you know
what?
Go kind of was provoking him and kind of being a douche about it.
That's
so...
what he does.
No,
I know that, but Q isn't that mentally unstable.
Is he?
No, he's not. He's
we haven't really...
Okay, we obviously know the fucking detective dude fucking did it.
Yeah, that's
like he's being
like
so fucking suspicious.
The guy
so obvious.
It was so obviously Hojo.
Yeah, fucking
yeah.
Hojo, you piece of shit.
He just shows up in the V1
suit. You tried to ruin Agito, and now you're trying to ruin Drive 2.
It's literally just fucking Hojo.
It's just Hojo.
Just shows up. I got shown up by that fucking G3.
Guys, I know Kamen Rider Drive's really cool and everything, but I have this design. I thought you'd like to look on it. Hojo, for last time, no.
Nobody wants G5V286.
Gavon version 0.5.
V1 for next Metal Hero.
Oh, God.
No.
This very much felt like the middle of a story.
Which it is,
but it's just, that's...
The gap between them is too far for anyone to care.
I honestly can't, like, say, like, anything more or less than that. Yeah, it just... This is clearly the middle of a story. It's
like we were saying with episode 48, this was them trying to be a straight up cop drama.
Yeah, and like that's, and I mentioned earlier, and I was mistaken, the part with Q like holding the X-Acto to his neck. I'm like, really? We're doing this with Q? Like, you know, like he's allowed to have more dramatic moments, yes, but this is way like
he's just a nerd. He's not mentally unstable, and honestly, like,
which is really creepy when you remember that this is supposed to be a kid's show.
This would be the equivalent of if in Star Wars, 3PO held a blaster to his head. That's what this is.
Yeah. I can't take this anymore, R2. I simply can't.
You're too fucking annoying.
I'm not long for this world, R2. Except robots can be repaired. I simply cannot admit to the fact that I murdered Master Luke.
I'll do it, R2.
Oh.
I'll do it. Okay, I'll fucking do it. R2 would just tell him to.
R2's like,
do it.
Whoa! I think we need to censor that.
Bleep me, please.
Yeah. No, can you
I said that.
Anthony,
for a moment there, I channeled Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to send the sound, but Anthony,
you can look up a fucking
censor
beep.
No, for censoring Raven, can you use the sound of when the mock driver belt closes, like shuts down, like that?
Okay.
Yeah, because it'd be funny.
Sure.
All right. But yeah. So overall, like. It was kind of boring.
Like, this might be the shortest we've ever spoken about a topic.
There's
yeah.
not much to talk about.
Yes.
I liked it.
He can speak!
Yeah. Okay, Justin Carmichael.
You
are.
Gar, we love you. Talk more, please.
Why
did you like it?
But why?
Just talk, man!
He's back to being mute again.
Aww.
Why the...
Okay, well, anyways, so... This has been episode 74.
Does anyone have anything else to say?
I really do. What happened aside from what we just fucking said?
Exactly. Like, don't have.
It's just, it was a very short, inconsequential.
It was literally 12
episode.
And a half minutes, and not like this. It really disappoints me because, like, in the same amount of time, Steven Universe puts out so much good content in one episode, and it disappoints me to see something of that length be so hollow.
Well, that's the mark of good writing, though. That's the mark
exactly.
of a good writing team.
Exactly.
Like, having enough things happen in a small amount of time and having it be consistent and well-paced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is this was just an exercise, and we had 40
like,
minutes to kill.
I feel like we should have waited...
And watch them all?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, we should probably do that.
It's 100%.
What?
This is a really, like, sad fan drawing.
Of?
Oh, of Heart, Chase, Brain, and Medic.
Look at that!
That's nice.
Aww. You want to maybe tell people how to find that now that you've said it on the non-video part of the show?
Yeah, sorry. Go on the Kamen Rider Facebook page and...
The one that's just called Kamen Rider?
Yeah, Kamen Rider, and there's a picture
Who we may be collaborating
of
with
the Roid Mudes, like, that died in Drive of just, like, you know...
All 108!
Lying together in a... You know, on near gravestone. So, it's pretty touching, actually.
It's okay, guys. They're going to the big Canadian Tire in the sky.
No.
You say sitting next to some
no,
guy
it's
who
the
used
promised
to
land in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, Canadian Tire.
I'd like to think more Michelin, but yeah.
What do you got against our country?
Oh.
Nothing.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. As always, you can find all of our garbage at fucking castranger.podbean.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, follow our Facebook page, and tweet at us at Ixie Studios.
See you next time at our 75th episode.
And we're going to be talking about Go, 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 Ghostal! Go! Go!